Good morning, everybody. It is, well, the last week of August, last couple of days of August. It's August 30th, Monday, 2021. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. We appreciate you listening, and we wish the folks, Hurricane Ida hit yesterday, to put this into perspective. So we wish the folks down there in Mississippi and Louisiana, we wish them well today. We're going to Texas, but we're going, I think, far away from this thing, so there was no consequences down there. We're going to go to Texas this morning, go to the Educational Service Center, Region 1 down in Brownsville and Laredo and South Padre area. We're going to talk to Norma Ortiz McCormick and Nicole Science. I hope I did your name right, Nicole. Okay, we're going to talk about advancing equity with social-emotional learning. And who put this together are my good friends from the ACT Center on Equity. Okay, Dr. Alex Casillas is the principal research psychologist for social-emotional and academic learning and research over at ACT. And all three of those fine people are with us today. We're going to talk about this in detail. We're going to use the Gear Up program and how they work with all the things that ACT does, new research, etc. We're going to archive the show at ace-ed.org. That's our American Consortium for Equity in Education, ace-ed.org. Our magazine is over there. All our podcasts are over there. And a ton of other information all about equity. And big news, I'm so glad we're doing the show on social-emotional learning over the next week or so. We're going to be introducing a brand new product over at the consortium all about social-emotional learning, and I'll tell you all about that as it becomes public. But please go over to ace-ed.org. You will enjoy what we're doing. I'm Larry Jacobs. Let's see how my guests are all doing down there as this thing spins. There we go. First of all, say hello to Dr. Casillas. Hello, Alex.
Hello, Larry.
How are you?
I am doing fine. This is a good Monday morning here in Iowa, but definitely our thoughts are with the folks who are suffering from the impact of Ida.
Yeah, and it ain't over yet. I lived in Florida through a number of hurricanes, and, you know, CNN and the Weather Channel leave in 2 days, but the electricity stays off for a long time. Okay, it's not fun, and it's hot down there, so I do wish them well. Thanks, Alex, for being here. Norma, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning. Call me Larry, please. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Larry. Just keeping everybody in my prayers and hoping everything works out
yeah.
And everything's okay for them. Yes.
Yeah, we haven't really seen the results yet because where it's bad, they haven't gotten the TV down there. So let's wish them well. Nicole, you okay today?
Good morning, Larry. Yes, I'm doing well. Again, thinking of our neighbors in Louisiana right now.
Yeah, right at the next state over, right? You got to be able to wish them well, man. You guys know all too well about hurricanes. All right, down there. Up here we get rare ones. I live in Maine, and it's rare. We had that ridiculous one, Hurricane Henri, who did nothing a couple of weeks ago. So we're glad everything's okay. Alex, tell us what you do down at ACT. As principal research psychologist involving social, emotional, and academic learning. Go ahead.
So that's a lot of words to say that I'm just a big nerd who likes data. And so I do a lot of research on some of these topics, including behavioral skills or social, emotional learning skills, whichever one you want to call them, and how they predict all types of outcomes, beneficial outcomes, across school settings, workforce settings, and even in a variety of life settings.
It's cool. How long have you been doing that?
Well, I went to grad school to get my PhD in clinical psychology, decided I didn't want to practice, and instead I wanted to go into research, and then I've been doing
good
this work full-time for a little over 16 years.
Wow, congratulations. That's just great. And have you always been Iowa-based?
Well, I'm originally from Mexico, but yes, I've always been Iowa-based in terms of my work.
A lot of people mix up Iowa and Mexico. They're very similar.
Yes, I've heard that.
That was a joke. Okay, both lovely places. It's funny. Okay, where were you born in Mexico, if I may ask? That's interesting.
Mexico City.
I'd never heard of it. Is that a small town there? What is that?
Yeah, it's only about 21 million people.
Yeah, that's all. That's all. Like the size of New York. right? Unbelievable place. All right, yeah. Just unbelievable. Norma, I'll ask you, Norma, okay? You're director of the Office of College, Career, and Life Readiness. I like that, at the Education Service Center down at Region 1, Brownsville, Laredo, over in South Padre. I want to make sure people understand that. Nicole is the ESC Coordinator and Gear Up Director, okay, in the office, okay? So you guys work together. So I'll ask Norma. Norma, tell us, everybody, what you do down at the Region 1 Center, besides under your title.
So I work in the area, well, of course, in education. I've been doing this work for 26 years. And here at the Service Center, I've been 16 years looking at providing access and opportunity for underserved families and students in an area with college, career, post-secondary options, working with adults who are trying to earn their GED credentials and post-secondary credentials. So we have a big team. There's 26 of us working in this office, and we're always focused on making sure we provide the best for our community. So based on their needs and the conversations we have with our principals, our students, anybody in our community, our families, we adjust to serve them to make sure we provide what they need. And also as a service center, we look at all the initiatives coming down from the state to make sure we support some of those areas as needed. So that's part of our job here. And as director of this office, I am blessed to serve a team of very dedicated people who are in education, who love doing what they're doing. And so our task is always to make sure we serve our community to the best of our ability.
Thank you. And I just want to make clear, there are 26 people, if I heard you correctly, in the Office of College, Career, and Life Readiness at the Education Center. So there's many more that work at the center, right? Am I correct?
Yeah, there's about 300 and plus people who are at the Service Center, like you said, from Laredo. We have a satellite office in Laredo. We have a satellite office in Brownsville. And our main office is in Edinburg, Texas. So we serve that whole community. I think it's the size of maybe Rhode Island. So we have that 430,000 students we serve in 38 districts plus 10 charter systems.
Wow. That's the size of Rhode Island. It's just amazing, you know. And again, I live in Maine. Rhode Island's close. Okay, it's really just astounding. All right, and I'm sure the number one person of the 26 is Nicole. Would I be correct, Norma?
She is definitely the number one person.
Thank you. There you go.
Thank you.
How did I know? The amazing number one, Nicole. Nicole. All right. Right. This is great. So talk to, and this is very important, okay? There's a lot of kids, and I think it's probably 95% or something, that are of Latino descent there, okay, if I'm not mistaken. Okay? Some incredibly high number, all right? And a lot of these folks, if I may, many of them, not, I don't know how many, maybe you can help me, are first-generation kids who are new to even thinking about college, right? Yes. Am I correct? Can you describe that demographic for us, Nicole?
Yes, absolutely. In our region, we have a lot of, you know, first-generation students and families. I myself am a first-generation student, family. Both to have a bachelor's and master's degree, and now I'm a director of a federal grant. When we work with our students and we work with our families, like, we truly do understand their journey and their experience. So much of our work is really not just to serve the students, but also serve the family, because for a first generation individual, it's not just the individual making this journey, it's a whole family.
That's right.
So a big part of our work is really ensuring that the family is comfortable and aware of the process and supporting them, but also empowering them. Every year we survey both our students and our families, and we have always had very high percentages, somewhere in the 97, 98, 99%, where parents are saying that they want their students to acquire some type of post-secondary education. They just don't necessarily know how to do that, how to facilitate that process. For us, it's really about bringing the whole family together in this journey. And also, we've seen where many of our families will themselves, the adults in the family or older sister brothers, will then continue and pursue their education, because now that they have the tools, they themselves can, you know, improve their own life and continue their own education. So It's a great, you know, experience overall, yeah, working through this program, through this office, but through the GEAR program as well. It's really changing, you know, in generations, but also, you know, ending that cycle of poverty that's unfortunate in our area.
Well, it is. You just wrapped it up in a nutshell. I mean, what you said is just so, it's just so important and so incredible. And what you're basically doing is opening the door for everybody once they kind of figure it out with the help of folks,
yeah,
like you. Okay, mm-hmm. It opens that door. Okay, and because you didn't even know there was a door. They didn't even know there was a door prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's just wonderful. Okay, it really and truly is. Okay, and I'm just so thrilled about that. Okay, and you mentioned something which is my favorite acronym in all of education. It's called the Gear Up Program. Okay, everybody ready? Here we go, my favorite acronym. This must have taken the government 47,000 people and 200,000 years to figure this one out. Gear up, okay? Gaining early awareness and readiness, that's the gear, gaining early awareness and residence and readiness. For, here comes the up, undergraduate programs. Gaining early awareness and readiness for undergraduate programs, or gear up. Okay, and congratulations to the official government acronym department for coming up with that one. That is astounding. Okay, I want to ask, Alex, I want to go back to you. How are you involved in all this?
Sure, Larry. So imagine about 11 years ago, folks from Region 1, including Norma and some of her team members, attended a conference that I was presenting at. And at the time, we had just started doing work on one of our previous generation SEL assessments. And we had taken it down all the way to middle school, and they said,
and this,
hey,
would be ACT.
This is great.
This
will be ACT.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. ACT.
Yep. That's okay. Yep.
We had just released a middle school SEL assessment, and they were really interested in doing that work with their students because they understood the power of these skills. And they wanted to track their students and their growth in these skills over the course of the grant cycle. So the Gear Up grants typically start in seventh grade, and they follow a cohort of students from seventh grade all the way to the end of high school, and in many cases, all the way through their first year of college. So this is, you know, a wonderful opportunity to help students to develop a variety of skills.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, like Nicole said, their families. And also from someone like
yeah.
you who's a big nerd and wants to look at data, this is an awesome opportunity to follow those students for a number of years to see how they're progressing and growing. You know, there's not a lot of studies that allow us to look at that
in a
kind of naturalistic perspective.
Right. And you're not a nerd, by the way, because I'll tell you something. You're ahead of the curve. Okay, you're not a nerd. You were a nerd. You're not a nerd anymore. Because education, you just mentioned the word data, okay? And, you know, education, and my ladies here will tell you this, there's a lot of anecdotal and emotional information in education. I love this kid. This kid's going to do well. I'm going to work with this kid. That's all well and good. But we need data, okay? And it's folks like you, Alex, who have been pushing the data on us, okay, educators, to have us use that. And I think that is an incredibly important thing. Right, Norma?
I definitely agree. I think if we don't have the data to support, with anecdotes, people will always ask us, well, where's the data to show that you're making a difference?
Exactly.
So that's why I'm so grateful for this partnership, because we're able to show, here's the data to show that what we're doing is making a big impact, and now we want to expand and continue
okay, and
to
now-
create.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And now, okay, so now we've got GEAR Up, the world's longest acronym. We've got GEAR Up, okay, gaining early awareness and readiness for undergraduate programs. That's key.
Yes.
Getting kids ready for college, okay, or higher ed, I should say, post-secondary ed. It doesn't necessarily have to be college, but getting them ready, okay? Gathering the data on Latinx. Do you like that term, Latinx? I don't like it. Do you want me to use that term?
I know.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Latino kids.
No.
I don't like that term. Okay? It's a made-up term. I just think it's ridiculous. Okay? Latino kids, in particular in this case, okay, which is an incredibly interesting thing. And a lot of this, and I'm going to go to Nicole on this one, social emotional learning. And that is playing. We're talking now, everybody knows academics matters. Okay?
Yeah.
But and everybody jumps on now these days, especially post-pandemic, okay, as social-emotional learning. But this has been important for a longer time than now that it's at the forefront. So I'll go to Nicole over here. Nicole, okay, talk about SEL and the importance of SEL, social-emotional learning, in all of this as we get these kids ready, particularly in this ethnic group. There you go, Nicole.
Yes,
I'll give you a PhD. As soon as you're done, I'm going to give you a PhD from the University
awesome.
Of Larry.
That's
which is even better than Alex's PhD. Okay, it's a much stronger PhD. I don't know where he got his. Where'd you get yours, Alex? Where'd you get yours?
University of Iowa.
Nothing compared to the University of Larry. That's all I can tell you. Dr. Science. Dr. Science. There you go.
So SEL is extremely important both in the pandemic and just in general and beyond in education. In education, we talk about, Bloom's taxonomy, which is, the six levels of learning with, basic learning being like remembering, understanding, ultimately getting to students creating. So with this, with the pandemic, you really had to now look instead and put Maslow before Bloom. So of course, Maslow is also, the hierarchy of needs, with the very basic needs being met, such as the physiological, the safety needs, up through, self-actualization. So if our students are struggling with physiological, with safety, if they do not have, food security, if they are, don't have the shelter, if they're having issues in their home of domestic abuse, students were not able to learn in that remote setting if they didn't have basic needs being met. So for us, through this process, through the pandemic, we really had to put Maslow before Bloom's. But this is something that's always been true. When students are in school, for many of them, it is a place of safety. It's a place where
that's
they
right.
learn the answers to the questions like, am I safe? Am I loved? What can I do with my life? What is my purpose? They learn all of that in school more than the just basic, mathematics, reading, lessons and skills. So throughout the pandemic, a large part of our efforts and work, we're helping students to feel connected, regardless of the physical separation, regardless of challenges they were facing, knowing that they were still connected, that there were people who cared for them. I know many of our students struggled with access to computers, access to the internet.
Yeah.
Even though our schools tried their best to provide, hotspots and Wi-Fis and food, basic needs were not being met through that process.
Right.
And I know that our schools, as much as they tried, could not meet all of them.
That's
but
right.
at least we could tell students that we were here for them, that we were connected, that they were, that we're still going to support them through this process and help them build, their self-esteem, help them build that sense of connection, help them build, their skills to maintain composure through the stress of the entire experience. And so those are skills that are not just relevant, in an educational setting, but throughout life. When we talk about our office, it's college, career, and life readiness. These are skills
yeah.
that we need throughout
yeah.
life. In the workplace, in your home, in your social setting. So really we are developing citizens for the future when you talk about
SEL.
That's
right. Well said again, Dr. Science.
Thank you.
I mean, it's incredible. All right. Norma, we have to talk about this woman. I mean, it's gone places here. All right. So all that said, okay, and I agree with you 100%. And by the way, We have please guys go over to ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org when you're done. That's us, okay, in our American Consortium for Equity, which is what we are talking about, okay. It's all an equity problem, and I have to say, I know the schools down there did a superb job. They did their very, very, very best during the pandemic. Everybody knew in the back of our minds we wanted equity, okay? We knew it wasn't there. The pandemic, as crummy as it was and still is, okay, brought all this to the forefront, okay? And it served that purpose, okay? And hopefully we'll be able to correct all those things as we move forward. So I must ask the question, knowing the importance of SEL, Norma, how did you folks teach it there? Or how did your school districts teach it? Or what did your ed Education Service Center do to push and have the educators in the different districts you serve understand the value and how to do the pedagogy behind SEL? I'll give you another. I'll give you a doctorate too if you can answer that one. That's a long question. But go ahead. Yeah.
Thank you. So
you're welcome.
When
doctor.
We look at and anything we implement, since we work with so many different districts, we always look at building capacity first and understanding internally within our team so that everybody understands what we're talking about, what SEL is, the work we did with ACT. And then we would bring in data to our district teams that have superintendents, deans, teachers, counselors, everybody looking at their data student by student. That's what we asked our dear friend Alex to run for us.
Yep.
So we could look at the gains that were being made year to year to year and the needs that the students were showing. So as the school saw those needs, they would intervene. And then they would see the report the following year, and they would see the gains being made. We did a crosswalk of intervention as a team when Dr. Atkins was here as our director. And then our schools created their own crosswalk, and they were able to see, you know what, I see that the students are saying that in the school they might not feel safe. What can we do as a school to improve that? So they created different procedures, additional things that would help them feel safe. And then they looked at the data the following year, and they were able to see that it made a difference. So it's real data, looking at it, intervening, and then saying, is it making a difference, right? And so all of us in our team who are doing this work, we always want to make sure that we understand what we're talking about, the areas like curiosity and leadership at all levels, right? Understanding grit and resiliency and how that helps all of us. As we're going through this, it's not just about that. It's about the recovery that we're going through right now. And the
speaking of hurricanes in Louisiana, okay, you got to be resilient right now, everybody. Go for it. I love this. Keep going.
Mm-hmm. So looking at the recovery and figuring out, you know what, we can do this together. We are never alone. I always tell people, you are never alone. All of us are here with you. Reach out also if you feel like you are, because there's community around you. That's something that we share with everybody. We are a community. We are connected. And so as we were going through the pandemic and we are all staying at home and there's a quarantine and all of that, we were saying we're here for each other. We were sending each other messages as a team and saying, hey, guys, don't forget to take a little break, stretch out and do some, you know, work away from your computers when you have lunch to stay sane so that you could provide services for others. So you also have to fill your cup, right, as you're pouring and then not just pour and not fill your cup. And so we had to remind people of those things because we forget. We're so used to just providing service that we forget that we also have to replenish our cup and do what we need to
do to
take care of ourselves.
That's right.
So we can keep providing excellent service for everybody. And then
we can
come in every day with that powerful, positive thinking mindset that, you know, permeates through your whole environment. If I come in, I know that I have to be careful. If I come in a bad mood, that is reflective later on the people that are here in my office. So it's contagious. So understanding all those things and teaching that, but the most important thing, Larry, is modeling it.
Yep.
I can talk the talk, but if I don't walk it and I don't model it, then there's no alignment. So that is really important in everything we do, and we support each other. We are a family here in our team, and we've supported each other through the pandemic, through losses of family members.
Yeah.
We've all had different losses and, continue to happen, and we're there for each other. We really are.
I want those losses to stop immediately. Okay,
yes.
And Latino folks and African American folks really suffered. Native American folks really suffered during this pandemic far more than other groups. It's just
we have.
It's scary. Yeah, and these kids are carrying a lot of baggage. Okay, when they come back to school. Okay, by the way, you guys are all the districts back in school? I think they are down there, right? They're back.
Yes,
they are. They're back.
Everybody's back. Yeah, up here in Maine, we don't start till after Labor Day. Okay,
oh,
it's
that's
different
great.
Up here in the Northeast. Yeah, well, we get out later. It's the same thing. When all said and done, it's the same thing. Okay, but it's interesting, and I hope the kids do very, very well. But the interesting thing about social-emotional learning, this is something that I've been focusing on. As I said, we're planning a new product about this. Okay, we always talk about social-emotional. You hear my Philly accent there. We always talk, okay, about social-emotional learning. Talk, T-A-W-K, talk, okay? All right. But we have to assess it. Okay, it's easy and get the data. All right, it's easy to talk about it. It's easy to buy a curriculum and throw it out there for somebody. Okay, but then at the end you have to make sure it's working. All right, and I want to swing back to Alex on this. And again, what you guys enabled Alex to do and his group is to really take a look through their center on equity at Latino kids. All right, so Alex, let me swing back to you, Dr. Casillas. You have a product over there called by ACT called Mosaic. And again, you guys are a testing firm, of course. Social emotional learning assessment, okay, and data. Talk about this. What do we, Alex, go for it. Tell us everything.
Sure, Larry. So it's part
everything,
of a
Alex.
Comprehensive
everything.
Solution.
Tell us everything.
So the assessment.
Yeah.
Sure. I'll give you the highlights. So the assessment looks at, you know, sort of five key social and emotional skills. For example, like getting along with others, right? We know that that's essential for collaboration, for teamwork, not just in school, but obviously at work and in life. And so it assesses those key social and emotional skills. And it also assesses school climate areas, particularly around whether students feel safe at school or wherever
mm-hmm.
their actual school environment may be, because last year and for some kids even now, it's online, but also in terms of their relationships with school adults, because the research shows that if a kid even has just that one good relationship with a school adult that they trust, that they see as a mentor or someone who can provide guidance, that's a huge driver of academic success for that student. And so we want, of course, to set, you know, those positive learning conditions. And so the assessment piece is essential because it tells you where kids are. But that's not it. That's not the only thing, right? I mean, you can have the best assessment in the world, and if you don't use those data to drive decisions and to implement interventions or curriculum or tools, then it's not going to do any good. And so the other piece of our Mosaic is that it actually provides curriculum as well that then educators can use in their classrooms, both, you know, in their actual, you know, in-person classrooms, but there's also online material so the students can actually do it asynchronously if that's how you want to set it up, so that they can then learn those skills. And, of course, you know, the practice is really what's key, right? So that's why it's important for the educators to have some professional development so that they can implement those things in the classroom. They can model them, like Norma said. It's really important to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. And then the last piece that we really started developing primarily out of the work with Norma and Nicole and all of their wonderful colleagues in Region 1 is, like, how do you support families, right? Families need some of these skills just as much as their students, and they, particularly during the pandemic, they needed these skills not just for themselves but in order to support their own students. And so one of the really cool things that we did as part of the work that we've been doing together is we kind of piloted a webinar series for families.
Nice.
That we call SEL 101, and really kind of help them to learn about what SEL is about, what these skills, how they're helpful, and teach them some of these skills. And these were available both in English and in Spanish, so that way language wasn't a barrier for people, because
mm-hmm.
that often
mm-hmm.
is in some of the programming that's available for parents in our schools.
It's so good. And this whole idea, you know, what I think what the pandemic taught us, okay, is that it brought to the forefront the importance and the value of getting great relationships for the school district with the family, even more so than we ever thought before. That it's not just up to the professional educators, it's up to the family. And it's up to the school district to engage them using the same engagement and pedagogical skills that we use for the kids. And if we can do that, okay, we're going to see an incredible improvement, okay, in a families and then, of course, in the academics and the way the kids go. Alex, I have to ask you something, okay? We always talk about SEL. But some of the kids get SEL starting in first grade, and they're there for 12 years, and they're getting it all the time. But other kids, and I don't know who I should send this to, other kids start SEL, not ESL, SEL, okay, as social-emotional learning at a later grade. They might start ninth grade. That's just when the program starts, or 11th grade. where's the sweet spot, if there is one, on social-emotional learning? And how do we teach a kid in 3 years what other kids have 12 years to learn? How do we assess those kind of things? Alex.
Sure, that's a great question, Larry. So, you know, certainly having reliable and valid assessments to give us a sense as to where kids are, that's really important. Now, the good news is that even, you know, those kids who maybe missed out on formal instruction in SEL have likely gotten a lot of informal instruction, right? I mean, especially during the early years of education, that's what education really is about, right? Like when my kids were little, they weren't learning to read when they were, you know, at preschool. They were primarily learning how to get along with other kids, right? How to follow directions, how to be nice to others and kind of play well with others. Those are SEL skills. But unfortunately, in our education system, that sort of fades into the background once core academics really get emphasized. And what we've been trying to say for a long time, and the pandemic, I think, really emphasized again, is that they are both important, right? It's not that SEL is above core academics, but it's also core academics is not above SEL. They play well together. You have to have them both in order to help students succeed. The good news is that even if you are, quote, unquote, behind on some of these skills, you can develop them, and you can do that at any age. I think critical windows are before major transitions. So like the research that we've done demonstrates that middle school is really a hotspot, like you said, because it's when students are getting ready for what is a critical transition into high school that can be, you know, really tricky for students for many reasons, right? They're raging hormones, their social skills are still kind of being developed, and then transitioning to a more demanding academic course load, or they also have to figure out what they want to do with the rest of their lives. I mean, I remember those days. They were not fun. So getting these skills and really kind of starting to master them is really critical in order to be successful across a range of settings.
It is all so darn important, okay, what you're saying. And I have to ask this. I'll ask Norma. Norma, how do – you're working with a lot of school districts, okay? How do the educators – react to all this, okay? I mean, they have a lot on their plate, especially now with the pandemic, catching up on academics is brutal for teachers right now, okay? And now we ask them to also do SEL work, all right? It's not just the school psychologist or the guidance counselor who does this. We're asking the teachers to do this. So when you talk to educators in your districts, what are they saying about SEL? And when you present to them the data or help them out, what do they say? What's their reaction? Norma.
I think they're really learning it, and they're trying to understand how it ties together to learning. So when we're teaching them about
Good.
Brain 101, about being proactive,
yeah.
about the amygdala and how we can become reactive, they become aha moments for them. And then they realize the way we set the environment in the classroom, the way we welcome and greet students at the door, the way we set up a lesson and really know and value every student and what they bring into our classroom is key to the SEL work. That's about learning. And
yep.
so when students oh. feel like they're being yep. accepted, received in a classroom, they feel safe enough to share what it is that they're thinking, to share their perspectives, their backgrounds. And so it's a matter of constantly sharing that message out with our community. It's not anything new, but it's being very cognizant of the way in which you have that happen in your classroom every day. And the way that you also manage yourself, because sometimes, you know, we need to give ourselves breaks. That teachers work so
yeah.
much. Give yourself a break.
Oh.
Give yourself a pause. Ask for help when you need help.
Absolutely.
And so the work that we're continuously doing now this year that we're focusing on is looking at, okay, what do we do? How do we support our educators and look at different ways to give them additional professional development? And going through a conference that we're having in September, looking at the growth mindset and learning, having sessions like that for them so they can see how it is really tied, SEL and learning. And it's not really anything new. It's something that's more integrated and more intentional, and just showing them those areas.
And Norma, would do me a favor, and you can do this, and I say this to everybody. You guys are so right on with this, okay, all three of you. And basically every school district is too. The SEL is so important. but the colleges are lacking behind in teaching teaching teachers how to teach SEL. An undergraduate needs SEL courses so they can walk out and teach it. That's what's happening out there. And we cannot have people be behind anymore. It'd be like graduating medical school, they forgot to teach a stethoscope. Okay? That doesn't make sense. Okay?
Yes.
And so when you're talking to those colleges and universities down there, which are good ones, remind them of that. The educational schools need to get on top of this. Okay? Alex, do you agree?
Absolutely. In fact, we surveyed college students not that long ago asking them about whether they thought they would want to take courses that focus on SEL, and like the response was overwhelmingly positive by college
there
students.
There you go.
Totally agree.
There you go.
Institutions need to get with the times.
They really do, and they can't send teachers out into the world without them understanding the pedagogy and the data, if I may, behind SEL. That's how important it is these days, and the pandemic says everything. We have to go, ladies and gentlemen. I got to tell you three are just doing a great job. I want you guys, Nicole and Norma, please stay safe down there. Take good care of those kids. And it ain't over yet, but we're getting there. Take care, please.
Thank you. We will.
You too.
Thank you, Larry.
And Alex, you too, my friend. Okay, and I think the University of Larry is playing University of Iowa this year in football.
Oh, excellent. I look forward to it.
We don't have a big team, but we're very powerful. So you might want to check out the schedule to get there on time for the alma mater. All right.
Absolutely.
Thank you to the three of you. You are just wonderful people, and I really appreciate the hard work you guys do and all this. You're on the cutting edge. This is beautiful. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Larry.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay, everybody. Wow, great people. Region 1 Education Service Center down in Brownsville, Laredo, South Padre area. Okay, and obviously in Texas. Okay, Nicole Sayens and Norma Ortiz McCormick and Dr. Alex Casillas from the ACT Center on Equity. He's the principal research psychologist, social-emotional academic learning research, and I love the way they put all that together. ACT Center on Equity. All right. We'll archive at ace-ed.org, and please go over there, see what we do, enjoy our magazine. You'll love it. Thank you for listening, everybody. Have a great day. And as I said to them, please stay safe. It ain't over yet. Thank you for listening.